3Wide Nation, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3 on the airwaves right now. Game week, race week, whatever you call it, this is the Clash preview edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3 with you, Eddie Greer the Third, for this podcast. It's racing / NASCAR podcast, all things racing, Craftsman Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and of course the Cup Series, three best divisions of all of motorsports, coming at you. Recording this on Thursday, February 2nd, 2023. This will be out. This will be actually episode 329 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. Will be out either Friday or Saturday ahead of the Clash to Coliseum, the second annual Clash to Coliseum going down on Sunday. All activities will be on Fox between FS1 and Fox. Looking forward to that. We'll preview that on the other side with my Dark Horses 3, because this is a 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3. All three things racing. And, of course, I will pick my winner of the Clash later on at the end of today night's episode. If you're new to the podcast, welcome on board. You love what you're hearing, please do make sure you subscribe to the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3, all things NASCAR and sometimes other things outside of NASCAR as well. So definitely make sure you subscribe. New season officially begins this weekend, and of course officially in 2.5 weeks, as I'm sitting here recording this podcast, with the Daytona 500, the Super Bowl of all of racing, and of course the Super Bowl in football, Super Bowl 57 between the Philadelphia Eagles and the Kansas City Chiefs. I live 2 hours away from Kansas City, so KC, will KC bring home another championship? To find out next week on the other end, as another end of football season officially will end next week. Meanwhile, another season starts as well. I just stumbled onto this, so I'm going to get into this right now. Obviously, a lot of news dropped this week on Tuesday, as I'm recording this on Thursday. A lot of that, I'm sure, we'll touch on this throughout the year as well. But I'm going to hit on this first, because this was the first thing that I saw. As we are obviously start our season on a short track, preseason style anyways, Christopher Bell, right? Christopher Bell, and I'm going to be a couple episodes ahead. So this month, it's going to be jam-packed full of episodes because after this, I'm going to be in. I got an interview coming up later on after this as well. So that won't come out probably until the interview anyways. Special guest interview, by the way. Probably won't come out until race week of the Daytona 500. So, and of course, all episodes will be posted on Monday. And here and there, with all I've recorded already, it's going to be scattered all over the place. But I'm shooting to at least have the cut reaction on Monday nights. So that's what we're looking for there. So just to remind people of that as well, for those who are new, I've been posting up weekly episodes from the past couple years on Sunday, the day of the cup race. That's going to change, because I'm going to wait till the cup race is over to have my reaction. I think it's better that way, to give limited raw reaction hour to 2 hours after the race is over. So I'm going to sit there, record after I put my daughter to bed, record and have that posted on Monday night. So right as your work week begins. So we all know that Mondays sometimes suck, right? But you want to kick it off or start your week off on the right foot. So that's what there is there. And of course, the interviews and other recordings will be posted sparingly. And if I do the interviews, get someone big on the podcast, which I've had in the past several years, including the Drive to Diversity kids, those will be spread out. Let's put it that way. So definitely I will let you guys know. So I'm going to be, after all these recordings today, as I'm sitting here recording the Clash preview on February 2nd, I'm going to be two episodes ahead. And I haven't even recorded the rest of the team previews yet on the Cup side as well. So definitely want to make sure you're subscribed to the podcast. All right, so yes, Christopher Bell. Let's get back on track here. Christopher Bell, I just literally listened to a clip. He was on a YouTube episode, and look, he apparently was banned from Joe Gibbs. Joe Gibbs not taking it easy on the guys, right? Christopher Bell coming off one of his best seasons of his Cup career to date, coming off of a championship four run, which included him finishing third, right? He's been banned, apparently, from dirt track racing. Are you serious? Okay, so Kyle Larson in his championship year when he won 10 autumn races, 10 races en route to his championship year 2 years ago. I cannot believe it's been 2 years ago since that happened. How time flies. But anyways, Kyle Larson, 10 wins, ran all the races. And of course, he of course, is a talent on dirt, right? So is Christopher Bellas, right? Bell and Larson, you know, they have a mini rivalry going, whether it's on dirt or on a track, right? Apparently, has been banned from racing. Maybe I should play it right now since I got it on here. Maybe, hopefully it'd be loud enough, but I'm going to go ahead and play this right now. Let's take a listen at this here.
And, you know, it means the world to me that I've been able to win it. But, you know, Joe Gibbs has been extremely, extremely vocal about his, I don't want to use the word hatred, but it's pretty close to hatred towards dirt track racing. And just, you know, he does not love dirt track racing or open wheel racing at all. And yeah, I mean, before Coy would, me and Coy had a great relationship, Coy Gibbs, and I would always funnel my dirt track stuff through Coy, and Coy would, he loved it, he thought it was really good for me to do, and you know, he would kind of tell his dad that, you know, that we talked about it, and he thought that it was fine for me to go do. So obviously, Coy passed away in November, and I kind of lost that, you know, that connection. And Joe was very vocal about me not dirt track racing. So for the time being, I'm not going to be dirt track racing. And yeah.
So, and again, for those that are new to the sport, obviously, Coy passed away, unfortunately passed away last November, a day after his son, Ty Gibbs, won the Xfinity Series Championship. Mm. Yeah, so, again, keeping the Gibbs family, again, another reminder, in your thoughts and prayers still, but the weird transition back to Christopher Bell, man. So, apparently, yeah, I did not realize that. About Christopher Bell and Joe Gibbs going after it on whether they're race on dirt or not as well. That came from the DGRShot.com interview there as well. So that's very, very interesting right there. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate for Christopher Bell. I mean, but on top of that, you're just coming off of a big season, and now a lot of people are tapping you to have a breakout year this year. So, I mean, we get, again, there's risk involved in that when you're trying to run for a championship, obviously. And look, these drivers put their lives on line each and every time they step in a race car, whether it's in a Cup car, Xfinity car, dirt track car, etc. Right? So, hey, I'm not a president. I'm not a team president or whatnot, or owner of one of these teams or whatnot. So, very unfortunate there. So, yeah, that's very strange coming out of that camp. Camp right there. So, Christopher Bell sidelined, so he can't do anything. So, and remember, Christopher Bell did a lot of things to his rise in the Cup Series, right? Dirt trucks, other things, then Xfinity. And, of course, remember, I believe he did win the truck championship at one point when it was the Cape World, now Craftsman. So interesting stuff coming out of there. Found that very strange. Very tough situation right there. But something to keep an eye on there as we about to enter the green flag in the 2023 season. And we're going to a bull ring with the clash of the Coliseum this weekend. Very interesting to see, because Christian Bell is going to be a factor in this thing on Sunday night. So we'll keep our eyes on that. This is the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer the third. Here we guys once again for another edition of the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3. This is going to be episode 329 of the podcast as well. I posted Monday's episode already, episode 328. Looking at the Chrysler Truck Series schedule, so make sure you check that out wherever you get your podcast there as well. And I'm just going to go right down the line here, because there are ton loads of news that came out. Hopefully I'll touch on all of these here as we approach the class. But yes, so you remember Ross Chastain, the Hail Melon move that sent him to the Challenger 4 race a year ago? Well, that has been banned by NASCAR early this week as well. Oh man, that would have been apparently a penalty last year for doing that. So Ross Chastain's move will forever, his car will forever go down the Hail Melon to send him to the Phoenix Championship 4 in 2022 last year there. NASCAR, looking back at that, apparently hated it. So we'll just call it what it is. They hated the move. Otherwise, they wouldn't have banned the move in the first place anyways. So again, NASCAR banned the move. Ross Chastain, Hail Melon. So from all tracks. Oh man, so you cannot do that. So that's a once in a lifetime move that we'll never see again. Well, for exception of replays or on YouTube every 100 times a day, it seems like as well. So, whew. So anyone pulls that off, it'll fall under the existing rules of quote unquote deemed to compromise the safety of the event, and NASCAR will call it a penalty. So how much a penalty? Nope, I have no idea about that. How much that penalty is? Probably, I don't know. They didn't really go into the details. All I call it is they see that type of move at the end of the race, they will call that a penalty. So, but yeah, short lived, right? So, Ross Chastain, apparently, you look back at that move, that similar change before, he doesn't do that move. Denny Hamlin goes on and tries for another championship or attempt to get it, to get his elusive first championship. So, wow. So, very, very interesting stuff that come out of NASCAR. Again, they look back and say, hey, you know, we despise this move and we're gonna reject it. Not just from Martinsville, from all tracks. You can't pull that off. That's like, you could go back even a decade, a decade further back. When Carl Edwards tried to put the moves on Jimmy Johnson at Kansas way back when, right? So, and then Carl Edwards, all that caused him is to finish second. So, I wonder if that would have been a penalty if they would have hit it on that. And apparently NASCAR let that go because, you can't pull that move on a mile and a half racetrack. You're going to be finishing in the back somewhere. Riding the wall like that, you destroy your parts like that. So absolutely, there's that there. So you can't pull that move on Darlington. That might be a different beast there because we've seen it happen a couple years ago in the playoffs. There, Kyle Larson almost pulled that move where he rode the wall and almost passed Denny Hamlin in the playoffs. They're in a frantic finish there. So we've seen this move here and there in the past in NASCAR. But the Hail Melon, you're one and done. you see that? It's a wrap. It's going to be a wrap. If anybody else try or Ross Chastain decides, hey, let's try to pull it off one more time there as well. Going down the line, list of possible penalties. The penalty for loose wheel off pit road has been kind of tweaked and now been adjusted as well. Now, all of a sudden, penalty for loose wheel, two-lap penalty, and a two-race suspension for two crew members. Damn! So we saw this a lot last year. We thought the one lug would solve a lot of problems. At least, in my opinion, I thought it did. No, it caused more problems. And we saw it right off the bat in the Daytona 500, right off the bat. And we saw this almost every week, pretty much, with loose wheels, a wheel coming off the track, putting people in danger, putting race cars in danger, for that matter. So the addition here, this was, what, a four? What was it previously? I can't remember. I want to say it was four, but that's too steep. I want to say that's a race suspension, at least one race suspension at least, or something like that. But now, this is, you get a double whammy at this. Two-lap penalty, which pretty much takes you out, unless you get a lot of damn cautions, which Tennessee happened. And in addition, two-race suspension for two crew members. Woohoo! That's a hefty, hefty penalty right there. Two-lap penalty, you lose two laps. So pretty much, if you don't get a lot of cautions, your race is done. Especially if you have a fast race car, you're in contention to win a race. That's devastating. That would be absolutely devastating to drivers that are in contention. Now, if you're not in contention, it might not matter. But that takes you out completely out of a race. So it's not one lap. So if it's one lap penalty, then you still have an opportunity. But if it's two, chances are you're done, in my opinion. There, and of course, two race suspension there as well. And so it looks like, from what Jeff Gluck and Bob Pockrass was talking about on Twitter this week, the suspensions will be pit crew, obviously, and not crew chief. Yes, okay, it was 4-week suspension. Yep, 4-week suspension last year for loose wheel for the crew chief. It was an automatic 4-week suspension. So there's going to be no more of that. So it's going to be just an adjustment there. So you're going to get, so the crew chief will no more used to be responsible, as it should. I hated that. I hated that role. Why the crew chief got to be responsible for that? He's not changing the tires. You hired a crew to change the tires on a damn race car. So, well, so why are we doing that? Right? So I agree. Crew chief stays on the pit box. So yeah, I agree with the adjustment there. If the crew chief screws up, yeah, you're suspended. I like that. So it definitely puts the really responsibility on the tire changers to make sure that lug is tight. And, of course, the two loss of two-lap penalty. That could be devastating for sure. So that's another rule that NASCAR announced as well. And, of course, more adjustments. Damage repair clock. This is a 3-Wide NASCAR podcast, episode 329, a class preview edition. Of course, I will go over the drivers, not in depth, of course, because I'm gonna have team previews coming out left and right this month on the podcast. So make sure again, you're keeping it subscribed, keeping it locked to the 3-Wide NASCAR podcast with EG3 damage repair clock pair. Gets tweaked. It was, what, 5 minutes at least? It's been upped to 7 minutes. Actually, it was 6 last year, so excuse me about that. 7 minutes, so not much of an increase there. You're giving increase by a minute there as well. And then, of course, it'll be up to 3 minutes for the postseason races. So basically, you're in the playoffs because it has more meaning. Right, not saying the regular season is, because it is meaningful, because you got to win a race to get in the postseason playoffs, NASCAR playoffs, right? 10 minutes for the playoff races in total, right there. So 7 minutes in the regular season for damage repair clock there as well. So yeah, a lot of news came out this week. So I'm gonna try to touch on all this first off here in the podcast, and then Another thing that came out as well, the quote-unquote oval wet weather packages. Yes, the overwet weather package, excuse me, could be used at the following tracks. Look, if there's a damp surface. So we're talking about, obviously, this weekend with the Clash. So is there a possibility to see it right away in the preseason race? We'll have to find out about that. Martinsville, New Hampshire. And going back to last year, they tested a little bit this oval wet weather package at the Martinsville last year, and I believe at New Hampshire, if I remember correctly. I know they did this at Martinsville for sure last year, if I'm my memory recalls it there as well. Martinsville, New Hampshire, North Wilkesboro. Of course, that's going to be home. New home to the NASCAR All-Star Race in 2023. This summer, cannot wait for that. Phoenix, Richmond. Also, IRP for the trucks in the playoffs. In Milwaukee, trucks in the playoffs. So those are the standalone. Those two races, or those two tracks, as you say, will be in the playoffs for the truck series, which I covered that in this week's edition of the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3X, episode 320, that was just talked about, which came out on Monday. So again, if you have not listened to that, I would encourage you to listen to that first before listening to this podcast. Of course, it's race week here with NASCAR returning officially to the West Side, California, USC Coliseum, Clash the Coliseum on Sunday. All activities this weekend there as well. So, on FS1 and on Fox. Yeah, so there's that. So, interesting. So, the oval wet weather package only on short tracks. There's a theme on that one. So, there's no mile and a half or no road course on that. So all of this is all covers all the short tracks for all the series this year, and that includes IRP in Milwaukee there as well. So, and of course there's more. Actually, let's see. Yeah, there's more to that as well. Yeah, there's more to the wire and the wall thing as well. I'm not gonna read that. Y'all can find that somewhere else. But yeah, so that's another addition this year. If it's not raining too hard or whatnot, it's not a straight up downpour. If it's just damp, you're gonna see the oval wet weather package, and we could see that somewhere this year. Just saying that as well. Yeah, I'm looking through, rewinding back to the call that NASCAR called about taking away the Hail Melon, the ride the wall, to prove your position there as well. A lot of people don't like it, as well. But, you know, hey, when you look back at it, you know, NASCAR had time to think about that. And they also, it was a season-defining move by Ross Chastain right there. He said, screw it. I'm gonna try it, see what happens. Nobody would have thought about that. Nobody would have went in that race last year would have thought of that move. Nobody, except for Ross Chastain. Anybody else would have not made that move except Ross Chastain. And he pulled it off. And NASCAR let him get away with it. Now you take that away. So taking any advantage away from that. So we see that anywhere. It is going to be a penalty. How steep of a penalty it is, I don't know. It could result in one of those finishing dead last type of deals, because that's advancing your position right there as well. But, yeah, that's going to go down in NASCAR lore as, it could have resulted in him in the championship. But Ross Chastain fell short of that by six positions to two-time Cup winner, Cup champion now, Joey Logano. But yeah, that could have resulted in him going all the way to hosting the Cup for sure. So anything right there for Ross Chastain right there, he benefited from that and getting himself into the Championship 4 race there as well. But absolutely, so see what happens there as well. This is the 3Y NASCAR Podcast with EG3, Eddie Greer, the third here. He will take a short intermission break here on this episode of the NASCAR Podcast. And on the other side, we will talk Clash. Get ready for that. As I have my dark horses in pick for that. I'm gonna start doing that a little bit more consistently here on this podcast. But a quick, as I'm recording this here, more focus on Daytona after the Clash, obviously, because everything goes official in a couple of weeks here. Jay Buford, who ran in the 48 car ride in the Xfinity Series, he's going to be driving the second Big Machines Records car, which is going to be a number 5 car at Daytona in a couple of weeks there as well here. Coming up for the Xfinity Series here. Did see something else here as well. And speaking of JGR, which I talked about Christian Bell at the top of this podcast, you know, being denied dirt track racing, Connor Mozak staying with the Xfinity Series here. We're moving our car in the middle of the racetrack here. He will pilot the 19 in the Xfinity Series. Let's see. He will do 3 races in the 19 in the Xfinity Series for JGR. Chicago, the inaugural Chicago Street Race in Chicago, Pocono, and Road America, added along with his 6 ARCA races for JGR, in addition with his 20 race Xfinity Series schedule with Sam Hunt Racing. Of course, Sam Hunt Racing, a huge part of the Xfinity Series as well. So, Connor Mozak. We saw Mozak last year, I believe, I want to say twice. I know I saw him once. Not saw him, but on a television screen on the racetrack in one of the Xfinity Series races last year there as well. So, Connor Mozak will be busy here this year in 2023. 3 more races added to his schedule. He'll be running in the 19 car for Joe Gibbs Racing there at the, well, 2 of the 3 of those are road courses, Chicago and Road America. The other one is a 3-turn track in the Pocono Mountains in Pocono Raceway as well. So there is that as well. And then, of course, here also that I got on my notes here, speaking of Chicago, Chicago Street Course Race, the inaugural street, tongue twister, the inaugural Chicago Street Course Race in July, right, will be 100 laps, looks like. Yeah, 100 laps I'm looking at here. Yes, 100 laps. You can read the small-ass writing here. All right, so 100 laps total, right? So the first stage will be... Ooh, how did I leave this out? I'll begin with that in the second half of the podcast. We'll end it with this right now. Chicago Street Race. 100 laps total. The first stage will be 20 laps. The second stage will be 45 laps. And the rest of the way will be all the way to 100. So, if I read that correctly here, which I should have, there with the first 20, and then the next will be 45, and then just the sprint, the 100 right there. So, 100 laps of the Chicago Street Race will go down. So, that has been official there, announced from the Chicago Street Course Race via... Also, Bob Pockrass had a chart of all the Cup Stage links in 2023 as well. And I cannot believe I almost left this out. Not what I just said, but this out. Important stuff. More stuff coming out from NASCAR. I'll end it with, speaking of stage racing, finally, NASCAR made an adjustment on that. We'll start off with that in the second half of the podcast. And Clash preview coming up next. We'll take a little bit of intermission break. We'll be back on the other side. This is the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, episode 329 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast. We'll be back after this. And we're back here on the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, Eddie Greer, the third host of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast, EG3, all things NASCAR, Craftsman Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and then the Cup Series. 3 biggest divisions of all of motorsports. Actually, I have 2 things to talk about here real quick. All right, so I know I just saw. Okay, yeah. All right, so looks like we'll start with stage racing first, and then we'll end this full plate of news with the other that I'm going that I've read. during the intermission there. So, stage racing. No more stage breaks. Hell yes. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. No more stage breaks. I hated that. Like, it's just too predictable. The strategy is too predictable with the stage points. I'm pretty sure we'll get dive on into more as we approach the first road course race, which will be COTA, later on down the line. But absolutely, get rid of them, which NASCAR did finally, something right on their part. I hated the stage race because the straightaway plan, it was just too normal. It was just too predictable. Yeah, guys pitting, trying to set themselves up for stage points. And yeah, guys stay out that weren't even in contention or were trying to maximize points or whatever it is, whatever the agenda, depending on the team it was, the driver it was, team it was, you just knew. So now you take that away, it's going to make this a hell of a lot more exciting. The strategy, at least the strategy game, is going to be a hell of a lot more exciting than just the predictability and the spectators going to sleep. Because I know for several people on my NASCAR Twitter feed fell asleep during these type of races because the strategy was just too easy. Too easy. So I know I was one of them. I'll admit it. But get rid of the stage breaks. So that's been official by NASCAR. When on a road course, whether it's Chicago Street Race, COTA, Sonoma, Watkins Glen, Roval Races, get rid of them. That's what they did. So applaud NASCAR on that. And so you remember, I think it was a couple years ago. So NASCAR, one more other thing. The top 30 points, right? You had to be the top 30, right, to get in to NASCAR playoffs, right? You had to be in the top 30. If you were outside the top 30, you won a race, you weren't allowed in. NASCAR threw that in the trash, threw that in the garbage, in the dumpster fire as well. Top 30. So if you win a race, you're full time, you're in, automatic. Whether you're out in the top 30 or not, you're in. Via Coil of Joy. I automatically think of him, Coil of Joy, last year, in position to upset the field in Atlanta. Couldn't do it as his block on Chase Elliott failed there, and Coil of Joy went up to the wall there, and of course Chase Elliott went on to win that race. But yeah, Coil of Joy was in position. That's how hungry he was to get in the victory lane. Now it's fair game. You win, especially Daytona. You're full time. This could be big. It's fair game now. But there's a catch. You got to be full time. You got to run a full time season, full time schedule. You got to be a full time Cup team. So that's the only adjustment there is there. But a big adjustment there is no more of this top 30 rule. So Coil of Joy, open season, baby. Yes. So Coil of Joy, don't got to worry about that. All you got to do is take care of business, and he's in. So like the Daytona 500, he were to win that, not going on record saying that, not yet. At least that's a way out of right field situation. But obviously, Daytona 500 is a lottery pick. Anybody can win that race. But again, you got to be full time. So that's the only adjustment to that rule. So no more top 30 points. You have to be full time cup organization and cup schedule. That sounded weird. You know what I'm saying? You got to be full time in the Cup Series to be in the playoffs. And on top of that, you got to win a race. So that's the other thing right there that NASCAR also made announcement. So all this drops this week on the podcast. So much news. So much, but it's so much dropped this week. And yeah, we're getting into the flow of things. I'm pretty sure we're bringing up. Somebody's going to do something stupid. And we'll have to bring it up. But definitely, this will be a reminder as we begin to navigate the 2023 campaign here in the NASCAR season between the Craftsman Truck Series, Xfinity Series, and the Cup Series as well. So definitely wanted to bring that to light there as well. So definitely, 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 we'll see what happens there with all of that unfolding, including, you got to think, not only Atlanta, but the whole Court of the Joy situation there, but you got to think about it with the all the speedway racing, and particularly just moving Atlanta out of the way for a minute, Daytona Talladega, right? So we saw a lot of guys that we weren't familiar with up front in the season finale, regular season finale at Daytona last year, the Crash Fest, which saw guys crashing when the rain fell out, right? So that's what I think about it. So it's going to be really open season. We're getting out of that. So it's going to be free-for-all. So I like that move. I like that call there as well. So, all right, folks, time to get on with it here. A lot of news here dropped this week. I think I covered all of it. If I didn't, we'll talk about it on the next edition of the Through on Ask a Podcast with EG3. But for right now, class time, right? So, based on the schedule, I'm probably going to drop this early Saturday on the podcast, episode 329. That's kind of what I was thinking, either Friday or Saturday, because my other podcast episode, weekly episode, is going to drop late Friday night. So this is going to drop out episode 329 early Saturday morning. So you're going to get, you guys, NASCAR Nation, you're going to have two episodes. If you haven't listened to the first one already this week, that dropped on Monday or main night for episodes this year on the podcast. So the Clash, right? All activities start on Sunday. Got the schedule right here on my tab. I'm bringing it up right now. Practice Eastern Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time. I think that's equivalent to 3. Actually, it's Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Central Time. So I should click this in Central Time like I usually do, because I don't live on the Eastern Time Zone. I live on the Central Time Zone. 5 Central Time. That's probably 3 Pacific Time. My guess there. That's going to include all three groups. Qualifying, 7:30 Central. And that's, I'm assuming, again, that's going to be on the FS1 / Fox apps or TVs, wherever you get your NASCAR coverage. So make sure you check the schedule for the time in your area there as well. Sunday, race day, going down February 5th, folks. All begins with the heat races. 4 Central Time, right? For those of you who live in the Central Time Zone, 5 Eastern Time, and 2 o'clock Pacific, which is probably the start of the races out there anyway. Race 1, 25 laps, right? The next heat will be 25. So all these races, heat races, will be 25. So be short, because this is the bull ring, right? So 25 laps, all start at 4 Central Time. Heat 2, 25. Heat 3, 25. Heat 4, 25, right? I believe I'm mistaken, I think this sets up, I want to say, the first two rows of the main event. I think that's right. I'm not 100% sure, but somewhere in there, because you can have the heat winners starting the back. I want to say the heat winners start the first top 4 spots. I think that was the rule last year. I think they're going with that again. I think that is my suspicion on that. I can't remember. Don't quote me on that. If it is, then the heat winners will start in the first two rows of the main event. And then the last chance qualifying will start approximately 5-ish Central Time there, with the first one, 50 laps. So these are just 2 50-lap heats. And the last one, last chance dance, the second one will start approximately around 5:40-ish Central Time. I know it's 6:40 Eastern Time there as well. Then the concert. And I got to make a correction. I said on the previous edition of 3-1 NASCAR Podcast, right? I said Rob Lowe was going to be the, who sings the driver start, the command, right? I say he's going to be the command for the 500. I got to make that correction. No, he's going to be the guy that does command for the Clash. So I wanted to come on there. I immediately said, damn it. When I said that, I'm like, that can't be right. So Rob Lowe, the star of 911 Lone Star, will be the aficionario to give the drivers to start their engines in the Clash on Sunday night. And, of course, the concert with Wiz Khalifa. Yes, Wiz Khalifa will begin around just a little bit after 6 Central, 7 Eastern time. And the driver intros will be 10 minutes to 8. Wait, what? No. 10 minutes to 6. No, 10 minutes to 7. Man. Okay, 6:50 Central Time, driver intros, and then the Busch Light Class, the main event. So, the last chance qualifiers are for those that did not make the heat races, so they're going to be starting last, I know that. So the main event will go down, 150-lap main event, Busch Light Class, Coliseum, 7 Central, 8 Eastern Time, on Fox there as well. And again, for those that don't know and are new to NASCAR, again, this format contains all the NASCAR Cup Series Charter Teams, which we're going to see 40 of them on the list, associated with NASCAR Cup Series drivers, the 2023 NASCAR Cup Series Open Team owners, and associated NASCAR Cup Series drivers are eligible to enter and compete for the 4 additional starting positions there as well. Again, the qualifying will consist of single vehicle will consist of single car qualifying there. So it'll be 1 round, 3 laps, a warm-up, and then 2 time laps there. And then qualifying order will be determined by the 2022 last year's owner points, lowest all the way to the highest, which would be Joey Logano. And of course, he's the defending cup champion and race winner from a year ago. There you go as well. So 4 heat races, 25 laps each there. Let's see if I cover that. So the last chance qualifying races, right? Only completed laps will be green flag laps. So caution laps in those last chance qualifiers won't count. I know. It's a lot, especially for the new race fan. If you watch this, go back. I would encourage you guys to go back and watch last year's Clash event to get a better understanding of that, to understand what's going on here. I like the original Clash better at Daytona. It was get the pole winners out, and let's race for 75 laps at Daytona. I like that better. I like that better to all this damn confusion that did as well. So we're going to stay on the last chance qualifier, right? So, the first last chance qualifying race will be for those that did not advance from Heat 1 and 3. The 6th place finisher from Heat 1 will be on the pole. The 6th place finisher from Heat 3 will be on the outside pole. So, the line will be filled out inside of row position 6-10 from Heat 1, outside row positions 6-10 from Heat 3. So the last chance qualifying race will be from the guys that did not advance from Heat 2 and 4. So you're basically doing the odd heats in the last chance qualifying 1, and then you're going the last chance qualifier 2 with the evens heat races there as well. So just to go forward here, top 3 from both those last chance qualifying races will advance to the main event. The remaining drivers will be eliminated for the rest from the event. So we saw some big names last year go out. we saw a lot of high stakes drama in those last chance qualifying races last year, and saw some big names sit out. So we'll probably end up seeing that again here this year. So it looks like the Clash here. Let's see. So 27 drivers will start the main event, Clash Coliseum. 26 starting drivers will be locked through the finishes of the heat races / last chance qualifying races 1 and 2. The 27th and final spot will be reserved for the driver who finished the highest in the 2022 season point standings who did not already earn a starting position in the main event there as well. So that's a I know folks, that's a handful. I just went over all of that here. So you can to read it, to go over it, but to have a better understanding, go watch last year's inaugural class, the Coliseum, to give even a better understanding of what took place and all that. As well as the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, episode 329 of a jam-packed edition leading up to the class, a class preview. Here, Eddie Greeter III, here with you guys once again here, closing in on another episode here leading up to the clash on Sunday. All of it culminating with the Clash of Coliseum, the main event, primetime, USC Coliseum on Fox. Okay, so finally, after all that, get to my dark horses here, folks, for this race. And last year surprised me a little bit. Obviously, Rick Rear Racing was one of those guys that surprised me a little bit. I got some dark horses here. And, of course, I'll pick the winner to end this podcast here. So, we're finally to my favorite part. So, I'm going to try to do this more consistently leading up to race weekend, picking my dark horses, three of them, because this is the 3Y NASCAR podcast with EG3, and giving you my race winner, right? All right. So, one of those, right, I got to ride with the guy I talked about at the top. And maybe I'm not doing him that fairly. because he's just coming off of a championship four run, that and the person of Chris Rebell, right? He won the last, well, no, he that was Joey Logano. Chris Rebell last year, he's hungry, and based on the way he looked like he was a cage animal in that interview there, I think he's gonna come out getting hopefully JGR on their short track game comes out with game busters. Here, so I think Christian Bell will ride that momentum here. I'm gonna ride with him here as one of my dark horses. He shouldn't be, but in my eyes, he is. He is gonna be one of those dark horses here. Here in this one. Second one, I'm gonna go with a guy that is gonna need a big year. need to step up. His last chance in the series, if he's going to keep a good ride. That, I'm talking about number 41 car, Ryan Preece, taking over Cole Custer. Cole Custer, again, demoted to full-time in the Xfinity Series. Ryan Preece, he was a developmental driver last year and dabbled in a few other events as well, including winning in the Truck Series last year. I think he's got to make a statement early. In a big year, you always want to come out on fire. I think Ryan Preece needs to do that. I think he's going to do it right here in the clash. He's a short track ace. He knows what he wants to do. He's either good ride, 41. You got good teammates around you. You got a champion, Kevin Harvick. Chase Briscoe's coming up in there as well. Some of those other guys. So definitely, I got Ryan Preece, one of those guys in there as well. And my number three. Who do I have? Number three. So I have Bell, Preece. Oh, man. It's been a long day. I got another one to record here. I got my interview record here in another hour. Man. So I got that. I'm going to go ahead and put dark horse. I'm going to also, you know what? Daniel Suarez. Let's throw him in here as well. I know Suarez ran well here last year at the racetrack last year. He came out pretty fast as well. So he's the other guy that really is going to have to step up his performances a little bit. And I talked about that in one of the team previews that's going to be coming out. He's going to have to come out with confidence. You don't. Then it could be in a long year. Obviously, he's overshadowed a little bit. He's the guy. He's the main ship guy over there that you want to build around. And Ross Chastain kind of stole the spotlight away. Suarez was fast out there last year, not mistaken, out there as well. So I'm looking for big things from his 99 on Saturday, all across the board. So I got Bell from JGR, Preece from SHR, right? And I got Suarez to make some hay over there. Of course, LA, you got a lot of diversity out there. Woo-woo. So I think Swart's going to make a splash out there somewhere, some shape or fashion out there come Sunday. And my winner, which leads all the way up to my winner of this race, 45. This guy should have won. This guy was very strong last year. In a new ride, different, total different situation from the Richard Childress situation. My winner for the class, prediction winner, 45 car, Tyler Reddick's going to win this race. He's going to win this race. He was one of the faster cars. He was going to win this race last year and had a problem. He stalled out on the racetrack. That was devastating right there. And this was at the time where he was looking for that. And I know this, the class does not count. The preseason, this is a preseason event. It does not count toward the playoffs. Let's get that clear. Does not count towards the playoffs, right? So, but this guy was strong last year. And he stalled out, I think. I think he stalled out leading the race, in my eye view. So, I got, and he swapped places. Not say, I shouldn't say swap, but he moved over to Toyota camp while Kyle Busch was with Jill Gibbs Racing in the Toyota camp, switched to Chevy with Richard Childress Racing. And I know I had a tough feeling with between he, I was going to pick one of those two anyway. Kyle Busch was in the running for it last year, could not run down Logano at the end of the race there, but I'm going to roll with the Toyota camp here. I know my favorite driver, MTJ's in that in the camp. I'm gonna stick with Toyota here. Ooh, excuse me. And I'm gonna ride with Reddick here. A total different situation. I don't have the crew chiefs up here. list up here right now. You know what? Actually, let's pull that up right now. Cause I had it up recently. 45. Tyler Reddick. Billy Scott. So they're gonna have some. They're gonna have some time here. They try to get this thing rolling here in 2023. But I got Tyler Reddick. Tyler Reddick, Denny Hamlin made a tremendous move to get him. Now he's on the squad. Bubba Wallace back to his normal car, 23 ride, and Tyler Reddick in the 45. I'm rolling with his 45. This 45 was fast last year, man, across the board last year. Big thanks to Kurt Busch. Kurt Busch is unfortunately going to be part-time because of his situation last year. He made that announcement toward the end of the year because of that terrible concussion situation. He demoted himself to being part-time, but he's a huge part of the 23-11 and way that team was really vibing at the in the second half of the year. Bubba was running well, won a race in that 45. Of course, the 45 swept all the races in Kansas City last year. So I believe Tyler Reddick's in for another big year. I think the 45 is going to pick up right where it left off. With all them resources over there, now you bring a high caliber driver, a two-time Xfinity Series championship over there. Tyler Reddick's going to be somebody you're going to have to deal with this year. And he's right up there as far as my favorite drivers go anyways. Right up there with action Bubba. So once Martin decides what he's going to do, I know it's way too early to know what his plan is going to do, what it's going to be in 2024. We're way out of the forecast for that right now, but Tyler Reddick has definitely grown on me as well. Now that Bubba and Tyler are on the same team, whew, I like where that is going right there. I look for 23-11 really to make waves again this year. I think Tyler Reddick make a statement and wins that race come Sunday. I really think he wants a little bit of payback for what happened last year. So that's my pick on Sunday. Tyler Reddick, 45. He'll make it's not official debut. Well, it is an official debut. Everything's not official until we get to Daytona. But this is a preseason race. But to make way a statement there, it'll be huge. Not saying Kyle Busch will go over there. It will be the same thing for Kyle Busch. Both of these will be both of these. Kyle Busch at RCR at number 8, and Tyler Reddick in the 45. Those are going to be storylines all year long, in my opinion. So it'll be really fascinating to track those drivers' story journeys throughout the 2023. But I'm going to say Tyler Reddick here wins this race on Sunday afternoon over there in LA. So that is my pick to win the race right there. The 3Wide NASCAR podcast, folks. Oh, and by the way, happy Black History Month here in February, folks, as we begin this journey here in February. Happy Black History Month here as well. I'm going to I'm hopeful to bring at least one or two people who are involved in NASCAR on this podcast. If you've been following me for quite a while on the show, I've been bringing on folks from the diversity, Driver Diversity Program. Also, having Roger Cruz on here, Nick Sanchez winning the ARCA series last year. Roger Cruz making his journey through NASCAR. He's in the full time in the truck series, and he just got inked to do some more racing with Alpha Prime Racing. So his journey has been fun to watch as well. I'm really excited to see Roger's development and growth continue in those stages this year, this upcoming year as well. So, but I'm hoping, striving and hoping to get at least one on here as well. But I have an interview coming up here that I'm going to do here shortly, which will be coming out probably on Speed Week as well, as I'm getting all these interviews recorded and edited out and published out on these days as well. So definitely, as a big fan of the sport, definitely has watched it grow over the years. And with all these changes I've talked about, all this news dropped on Tuesday drop, and like, wow, it's a lot happening. You know it's NASCAR when the Clash is coming around, and definitely the Clash will be upon us this weekend. Activity begins on Saturday and will end with the main event, the Clash Coliseum sequel part 2, going down Sunday night. This podcast with the other podcast, the 3Wide NASCAR podcast. You can find it wherever you get your podcast. Again, you renew the show, welcome on board to the 3Wide NASCAR podcast, EG3. You love what you listen here tonight, definitely subscribe, as the 2023 season is officially upon us. So definitely make sure you subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And of course, my DMs will be open this year for questions, comments about the racing and such like that. You have a question or a comment about the racing, definitely hit me up on Twitter at Eddie_ET3, or you just have a comment about the show in general. This is your chance. This is your chance to be on the podcast this year. Definitely make sure you subscribe. You can follow me at Eddie_EG3. Any questions or comments, my DMs are officially open. I want more interaction this year from the listeners. I think it'll be pretty fun. So definitely I'm putting that out there at Eddie_EG3. Eddie_EG3 is the handle as well. So definitely have me, especially from the race right away, definitely feel free to hop into my DMs at Eddie_EG3 there as well. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for another edition of 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Thank you again for listening to episode 329 of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3. Enjoy NASCAR returning to your television screens, or if you're going out to the races out there in Cali, enjoy the racing this weekend. We'll be back to chat about it on the next edition of the 3Wide NASCAR Podcast with EG3.